This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrills the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
All right. Special song for special. We have to mute that computer so we don't get feedback. See, we've learned. You've tuned in to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with a special song for a special day. Chris, do you know what this is?
Crash Day. All Saints Day.
No, you asked for it last week. You didn't know. This is Funk 48.
Oh, cool!
This is our bass line.
No, I didn't know that's what this was.
Jeff Fox, I think, was the bass player on that. Yeah, Jim Fox. Yes, that's some Funk 48 from the James Gang. Of course, we played Funk 49 last week. But nonetheless,
yes,
we're in the studio.
I liked it. That was good.
Right? Ray Guard.
Well, that was a good funk.
Today will be numerology day, and you'll see why later. But for that, it is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you, Chris, and all of our
Happy
fathers.
Happy Father's Day as well.
Thank you. And we have another great father in the studio with us. Mike Manning is with us today. Mike, how you doing?
Hello, everybody, and Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, to my father, to Chris, to you, to Ray.
Thank you. And I love your dad, Mike. You know that.
Yes, he's a good man. 90 years old, going to be in December.
God bless him. That is awesome. And I'm sure he's still going strong, right? Nothing stops him.
Oh, no, nothing. No, he's still doing like 7,000 to 10,000 steps a day.
Yeah. He blows me away.
That's what keeps him going.
Wow. Wow. You got to pick him up from New Jersey every once in a while. Right? Just...
Exactly.
He leaves the house and he's gone. You got to go get him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's calling you. I'm in Fort Lee. What am I doing here? I started walking. Next thing I know, I see a bridge.
Well, exactly. Whether you're in Fort Lee or it's one of those moments. Or if you identify as Bruce Lee,
Ray's is a car show. Just
I know.
Let you know.
The Alzheimer's moment show. That's what we call it every week. You can give us a call. Chris, what's the number?
516-572-7440 is the phone number, and you can reach us on all kinds of technological gizmos like Instagram and PartyGram and CandyGram and all kinds of grams. You can get us all.
We're Motormouth Radio on Facebook, on the web, and on Twitter, and we're Real_MotormouthRadio on Instagram, where we post pictures of stuff we do and get involved with and all that cool stuff.
Some with no pants on. Yes, we know.
Yeah, you know, you never know.
No, this is a family program. I know.
Yeah.
Save your cards and letters. I know. save your comments. I know.
So I'll tell you, I went to a cruise night the other night. Mike, I don't get out too much these days, but my good friend Kilowatt Kevin, after a grueling day of working outside in the heat, I was like ready to go to sleep at 7 o'clock. And he says, hey, you want to go to the Belmore cruise night? I'm like, okay. All right. And we went.
Yeah, but tell me if I'm wrong. Before you go any further, were you like, did the seas part when you showed up? You were shaking hands. You were like, hey, the Chief Cheech is here. Hey, you kiss some babies and
no, I'll
people.
Tell you why. Yeah, usually what Chris is referring to is I know a lot of guys that go down to that. A lot of people go to that cruise night. It was kind of weird. I think with not having that for a couple of years, it was a strange crowd. A lot of younger people, a lot of people I never saw before, and it was packed. So, you know, and the one guy that I did want to see, I walk up to this car. It's a Corvette, a 64, and I said, wow, this car is really nice. Caught my attention, made me stand there for 10 minutes looking at this car. So I'm going to find out what the color is. It was kind of like a gray. It looked like BASF gray, like the color of their shirts, but almost with a little robin's egg blue hue to it. Slight. Mm. So it was kind of monotone. The bumpers were painted the same color. He had the soft flat wheels on it, which are that magnesium looking. And then the interior was red and gray. Nicely done, you know, digital dash. And like, wow, this car is like a nice little custom. So, you know, the owner wasn't around, so Kevin and I went to the Mr. Softy guy. Let me tell you something. You want to buy a Mr. Softy shake now? $9 at the truck, at the crew. Yeah. You want a new job? Let's do it. We'll pool our money. We'll go do it.
Wow.
So we got the large ice cream cones for $7 a piece. Like, jeez, man. But you know what? This guy made his weekly nut just there that night, I think, because he was there till 10:30. Still going. But anyway, as we walking back to get our place on the guardrail to watch the shenanigans on Sunrise Highway, the owner of the Corvette was driving out. It's my friend Tom, the guy I went to school with since third grade.
Oh, wow.
So I had to call him yesterday and say, hey, I saw this great car I was looking at, and it ends up it was yours. So he filled me in on the build. I still didn't get to find out what that color is, though. So, yeah, I didn't see too many people that I knew. You know, we just kind of hung out and watched. It was like a freak show that night. It was really kind of weird. You know, a lot of weirdos.
Hopefully it wasn't because a lot of them passed away.
Every year I think that happens every year. There are going to be a few less guys who just didn't make it through the winter. And, you know, maybe they're still with us and just can't go out. Or, yeah, maybe they did pass. That's just the way it is, you know.
We got to watch the classifieds, right? That's the only way to know.
Right.
The card. Hey, isn't that Bob's card?
Well, or in our world, it's the texts or phone calls that go to just a select few. Hey, you know, I got any. You want this? Because a lot of that stuff gets traded hands without ever going public. You know,
true.
We all know that.
True. Yeah, it all goes from friend to friend. That's right. Never gets advertising.
Well, who you know, right?
Exactly.
So, Mike, how are you? I haven't spoken to you in so long. How you been? What do you own now? How many? Just tell me how many cars you own.
I really don't know how many I have. I mean, you know, I don't have that many.
You lost count.
I don't keep track of them, truthfully. I mean, I have some upstate, some on the island, and a couple in Florida now. But none of my cars are real high-end, so I can have a lot of cars.
Right.
You know, I don't have million-dollar cars or $100,000 cars. Mine are like $20,000 to $30,000 cars.
even that is impressive. I mean,
one of them.
But those are the best type of cars, because if you have those million-dollar cars, what are you going to do with them? They sit on carpet. They do nothing. You can't drive them because, God forbid, someone scratches them or breathes on them or leans on it. You're going to have a coronary. So it's better to have a car that you can use and drive and enjoy. And that's I think you have the best fleet, if you ask me personally. I'd much rather.
We champion that on this show all the time. That's our mantra, you know.
Sure. Definitely.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, like today I was driving, I have a 68 Buick Skylark four-door. Bought it, original car, 40,000 miles. Ran great. I had some work done to it. Then it wasn't running properly. It was backfiring. Blew the muffler off it. I had to get Ray to come in to fix it.
Oh, boy.
So Ray came in, put his magic hands on it. Now it runs great. So I'm driving it today. I was going up to T-Mobile to get something, and it's right by the studio. So I called Ray and said, are you going to be on today? And he said, yes. So I said, I'm going to stop by and say hello.
See, Mike's really just hedging his bets. In case it goes bad, he knows now we're going to go out and we'll fix it. That was the car, Chris, I was talking about with Uncle Tony DeFeo, a few weeks ago on this show. It was May 29th we had Tony on. And I was running, because he's a big points and condenser guy. That's his world. Yeah. And the issue with Mike's car is it's running beautifully at 10 to 12 degrees of dwell. When you get past 24, it should be up around 30, it starts running like crap. And you back it down, which opens the points, and it runs better.
And we're talking about a regular 352 barrel, right? Yeah. It's no, it's nothing exotic or anything like that. Wow.
So
yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, I was telling Mike before the show, I've run it by a few guys I know who are old school type guys, and they're all scratching. Well, what, you know, so how'd you fix it? And I said, well, this is how I made it run better. I can't say that that's how it's fixed because to me, right. it's really not. It's not doing what it's not right, but it is right. So. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I had the old, you know, as I'm working on it, I said to him, I said, WWMD, WWMD. That stands for What Would Mike Do?
What Would Mike Do?
I say that all the time. And I said, you know what? Let's just do what the car wants done to it, you know,
right.
because what the book says isn't working. So in this case, we're going to do what works. And you know, we're going to hope that it lasts a good long time.
And I'm sure you timed it, and it's timed to spec, right? It's little, close.
Well, it was a little advanced, and I knew that if I retarded it, the bottom would fall out even further, so I left it right where it was. But the car starts, Chris, with literally you hit the key. Before you hit start, the car lights.
Really?
I can't argue with that. I mean, that's how I want all my cars to start, you know?
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I'm sure it performs very well, right? There's no problem with drivability at all, right?
There's a little hitch. There's like a little, Mike, you were saying there's a little bit of a, like a little, one of those little stumbles just when you first get into it, you know, and then right. and it's clear, kind of like an accelerator pump would do that. But the carburetor was just rebuilt, so kind of got to rule that out. You know?
So it gives you, when you pull away, it gives you like
a little
that?
Bit. Yeah. What happens, Mike, if you hit it a little harder? Can you drive through that?
You can drive through it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you definitely can.
Yeah, we've all had that in our cars.
Yeah, because we're talking about we're not an exotic motor here. I mean, it's a I'm still other than timing or I mean, I really can't think of anything else that would probably cause that problem. Mm. Carburation would be an issue?
It's a rebuilt car by a reputable guy. And I took it apart and double-checked, and I can't find anything wrong, so...
You put your magic hands on it, huh?
Well, I just double-checked. I wanted to make... Sometimes you get a little piece of something stuck in there. It was a real... But I did find the real... I thought about this in the later on, Mike, and when I first looked at the car in the state it was in with the blown muffler, it was at the Limbrook shop, and... I had to leave there without being able to do anything. And you brought it to the Oceanside shop, the other shop, and that's where the car got fixed. And I said to myself, that's it. It was in a happy place. It was in the small shop where it's quiet. Because in the other, in Limerick, it's a busy, bustling shop. There's people all over. There's stuff happening. Maybe it's me. Like, I don't, you know, I don't work as well in that environment as I do in a nice, quiet, you know, like I go out to my garage. There's nobody there. It's quiet. Like, that's where I do my best work and my best thinking, I think. I'm kind of a loner in that respect. You know, I'm like...
No, I totally agree. I think the environment in which you work in is got a lot to do with the way you fix a vehicle.
Right.
Sure. I know. I can't be distracted.
But we should say that the, you know, that bit we just played at the beginning, we'll play it on our middle and bottom break too, is Celebrity Chase. That's it's Mike's place. So, you know, we've all used them, Kim too. So it's a good place to go and visit if you need body work. Very competent, good guys. The crew is kind of turning over. There's some younger guys, but everything's happening the right way, which is nice. It's nice to have a place that, you know, when people ask you for a referral, right off the top of your head, you say, yeah, go here. You know,
no, it's true.
And same thing like with the transmission, we just sent a guy over to our good friend Pat. And it's nice to be able to have those referrals right at the tip of your fingers, you know. So that's how you know. I think that's how I know I'm in the right crowd, you know.
No, it's true. Mike, any new fads, new strides in the collision business? Is there anything I know, because cars are not built the way they were body on frame years ago. You're dealing with like a peach can or a Coke soda can, basically. You know, it's like you were the one that taught me that a car gets hit hard enough on one side, you have to go look at the other side of the car because it could be affected. When you think it's not, like body-on-frame cars, you get crushed in a fender. You don't have to go to the back quarter to see what's... But on new cars, there's a chance you do. Am I correct?
Sure, sure. Yeah, definitely the unibody construction. I mean, years ago, frames, you know, with a full-frame car, you'd get diamonding and stuff like that in the frame. But the unibody, yeah, it sends the energy throughout the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the repair process is kind of the same. The biggest challenge we have now is electronics. You know, all of the safety systems that are in the car.
I mean, really?
You know, you got 10 airbags in a car. You got, you know.
ADAS.
ADAS system.
Oof.
You got blind spot sensors, cameras everywhere, everything.
Yeah.
And you can't program it yourself. It's got to go back to the dealer. You know, we just don't have the money to have that type of equipment, so we have to deal with the dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a hassle. So a lot of the cars now, when they get up to that point, we just total them out. It's just more cost effective. We actually make sometimes more money totaling the car than we do actually fixing the car.
You know, I remember our good friend Ray Miranda had taught me something years ago. He was doing a collision investigation. He does forensic stuff. And he said this car was blasted. It was hitting the rear. And I forget exactly what the specifics were about what the person claimed happened. So now he has to substantiate that. And he said, so the first thing I did is he goes, I went right to the front of the vehicle. I'm like, huh? He goes, yeah. And I opened the hood and I looked at the front and I knew that the guy was lying. I'm like, whoa, okay, well, explain that to me. And again, I wish I remembered the details because it would make more sense. But he looked at the radiator and the everything shifted so far forward and there was damage in the front because of the rear end collision. And then it kind of relaxed and he knew, you know, he knew that what they said happened couldn't have happened. And, you know, and then he pulled black box data and all and that substantiated it with, you know, they look at acceleration, brake and blah, blah, blah. I was like, wow, it really is like being Columbo. You know, it's like you got to be – these adjusters have to be like, you know, the best detectives in the world. You know, good stuff. Mm-hmm. But not with the stuff we – you know, I was thinking, Mike, today, just to change the subject, 516-572-7440. You can call in and talk to the expert if you'd like. That's Mike, not us.
Right.
Car shows all over the place today. There's a bunch of them all over. And I was thinking to you, Mike, I was like, wow, you know, now you got like a little, you have a segment of your fleet is like car show worthy. You know, your Chevelle, your Mustang, the Monte is another one. And even the Buick, people roll in with that. It's like, wow, the Bugazzi, if you want to really turn heads, you know?
That's only for a select few.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I bet you that car would draw a crowd.
Definitely.
At any car show.
Definitely.
I was like, man, what a lucky guy. He's got all those cars. I'm like, yeah. But then, lucky guy, then you got to put gas on, brakes, oil, you got inspections. Oh, my God.
So, got to take care of them. Every one of them needs some sort of care.
Yeah.
Get stock in a battery company, right? Every year, no matter what, trickle charge or not, you got to buy a battery every time you go.
I tell you, yeah. It almost pays to take it out. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's true. That's exactly what I do. I just pop the positive terminal off, toss it aside. That's it. Done.
Okay. Well, we have a positive terminal here. Let me move the stuff off the board. Let's go to the funds and the phone and the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi. This may be the fun. This is Tom from Massapequa.
What's going on, Tom? How are you today?
Good, good, guys. Hey, I was going to call in, and your guest mentioned my dilemma.
Okay.
So, could you guide me and offer any alternatives? We are changing the traction control module on my 04 Cadillac Escalade. We have almost everything we need. However, after it's complete, I understand we need to bring it to a dealer to get reprogrammed.
Uh-huh.
Are there any alternatives, or are there people in the network of the show that may want to offer a service at a more reasonable rate and not have to go to the dealer? What's the situation on that?
Hmm. Well, yeah, it's funny because Joe was just asking me about this about a week ago. He sent me an email and said, hey, whatever happened with Tom and his traction control, you know, the thing with the SK? I was like, you know, Joe, I said I haven't heard from him in a couple months. I guess it's fixed, and he just didn't tell us about it, so nothing to report. But you would need a guy like that, somebody who's like a mobile technician who could do the reprogram if he's got the right tool to do it. He may not. That may be something that is really dealer only. I'll have to ask around.
Yeah, I just wanted to put it out there. And your guest just mentioned that he's a professional body shop, if I'm not mistaken, because I just tuned in. And he even has to go back to the dealer for, you know, whatever. And he said that's a challenge.
Well, yeah, don't get me wrong. And if you come in, he can total your car for you. He can do that, like, easy. So where do you want to go here, Tom?
I, No, I want to drive that thing. It's only 22 years old. I think it's got 30 or 40 more years.
I thought you wanted a quick fix. We could do that, like, probably today.
Let's not spread that around.
Yeah, right.
Good idea. We don't do toggles on cars.
Right.
I could sell that fuck clip in 20 minutes. No big deal.
That was in the 70s.
And it's funny, though, if you hear of any alternatives, and send my regards to Joe, we decided, alternatives in regards to the programming, okay?
Right.
We decided to invest the additional monies in the vehicle, okay?
Right.
And we believe that's the dilemma, and the inspection's up this month, so we decided, we've been driving it with the fuse out, you know, when we need to, because it's not an everyday vehicle anyway, at the moment. So that's our situation, and we ordered the part, and we're going to work on it, and, you know, my son told me, Dad, you know, we'll get the part, but you got to take it to the dealer. I'm like, okay. And the dealer said that it would be a minimum of an hour tech charge and maybe 2 hours.
Sure.
Now, that's not crazy for an hour, but I don't. How does that work? What do they actually do? And why would it go longer than an hour? Do you guys have any insight into that?
Yeah, it's that fudge factor where pretty much, you know, like in your house, Chris and I were talking about this before the show, you got to do the simplest thing that you've done 100 times before, and now it takes you twice as long or three times. Why? Because that stupid thing popped up on you, that or something broke, or, you know, maybe they're going to put the, there could be 100 things. But, sure. You know, with the laborator, is it a deal of these? Mike, what is the laborator deal? Do you know? Are you? It's got to be 130?
Yeah, I'd say about 130, 100 to about $150 an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, I think they told me 165 at the Cadillac dealer in Farmingdale.
All right, that's
Cadillac,
it's
worth at least $15 more than you
right.
drive the Cadillac.
Premium.
Exactly. But there are mobile guys. I could get a number and give it to Ray for you. We do deal with some mobile guys.
Oh, that would be great. And they have the tech on that, the same. Okay, yeah, that would be great. Because we may wind up using them in the future, too, because we plan on keeping this vehicle.
Right.
So, and we have other vehicles that are aging out as well, because that's my style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our style,
that's
too.
That's all our styles.
You see what we drive.
Yeah.
We're aging.
I didn't realize it was a style.
Yeah, if you could give that mobile number to Ray and they could send it over, that'd be awesome. Yeah,
I'll get it to you, Tom. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm. All right, send my regards to Joe D. And one other thing I just got to add. The gentleman said it. I'm not a technical guy or whatever, but these cars with all the sensors, it's like unbelievable. It's got to be the biggest challenge, right? Because there's so many safety features and cameras and lights.
Oh, yeah. No, it is quite, it's daunting. And, you know, like I said, the mobile guys kind of keep up with it. The good guys do keep up. I know Joe was a kind of like a mobile tech, and he would always go to school and training courses and keep up with that. And all the good guys do, because they know if they don't, they can't do the job that they're getting paid to do. So, yeah.
Are you guys familiar? A friend of mine does work for the New York Automobile Dealers Association, and this person mentioned that she thinks they have some sort of special training for very, very sophisticated tech guys, and they do this high-level technology, diagnostic or whatever, and only a few of them graduate a year, and that they get paid this extremely ridiculous rate per hour for the dealers. Have you heard of anything at all about that?
No, I think that's an internal thing. I haven't heard about that. But
mentioned some crazy number.
I wouldn't be surprised if it existed, because I have a friend that works at Audi in Lindbrook, and for years, this guy's been in an Audi dealership for over 30-something years, and he's always been one of the top techs that the other dealers borrow for the cars that their techs can't fix. And he even told me years ago, he says, listen, they can't. I said, how do they compensate you? He goes, they can't pay me. We can't, because they can't charge the customer 50 hours on a diagnostic. This is the trouble cars. So he would get comp time and other things. It became an inter-dealership deal, you know. But he's one of those guys that would get paid more if, you know, he had gotten some money, you know, from the dealerships at times, because he's doing things nobody else. They got the factory guys coming down and can't solve the problem, and then he'll fix it. So.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, thank you for talking to me, and thanks for Joe for thinking about me. I always enjoy you guys. Happy Father's Day, by the way, and hopefully you don't get any calls from additional children you weren't aware of.
Yeah, we took care of them a long time ago. I think we're fine. Thanks, Tom.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, talk to you
soon. Thanks, Tom. Right. Always a pleasure.
So long. It's Tom from Massapequa. And as he said, call us, 516-572-7440, and we can maybe help you out with your cars and whatever.
I guess those would be considered the top gun of the industry.
That's right.
The best of the best.
I heard a commercial on the radio, and I have to hear it again and get the info. It's that guy, Brett Saslow, from Smithhaven Auto Mall, whatever it is. And the commercial said they're looking for techs, guys that can come in entry level to top level, whatever your experience is. But if you're entry level, they'll put you in a program, train you, and then pay you commensurate with your knowledge. They're trying to get guys to work on cars. They just can't find it. So now they're trying to start a training program. And I want to get them on to talk about it on the air because, you know, we're all about training and teaching younger guys how to do the business.
Sure.
You know, how's it in the body business, Mike? I know. You know, there always seem to be more guys who knew body work than top-level auto mechanics, at least in the circles I traveled in. Is it that way, or is it like when you put out a call for help wanted, how does it work?
What are you implying, that we're not as smart?
No.
He looked at me.
Well, gotta look at it. No, certainly not. And I will say this, that's the one thing I don't do. I don't do body work or paint, and there's a reason. I could probably do paint. But the body work, because every time I try to make sheetrock in my house, a stupid repair look good, I think, oh, that's nice, it's smooth. And then you prime it, and you're like, oh, there it is.
I do it too.
So, no, I have the ultimate respect for body work, for body men's abilities, without a doubt.
Well, you're American. You're not going to be able to do plastic work.
There you go.
You got to be from Trinidad or from Guyana. Or from Latin countries.
The guys I've seen that are from those countries, they knock it out, man. Yeah.
They know it. I mean, it's just not many of us in the industry anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's changed, and it's hard to get techs. It really is.
Yeah.
It's very hard. There's nobody wants to work with their hands no more.
Yeah.
They just, you know, want to sit at a computer, not go into Manhattan or drive and just get paid. I mean, and some of them do make a lot of money.
Sure.
I wish that I could do that, but it just doesn't happen.
You can't fix dents behind a computer.
No.
You got to be...
I tell you, I loved working from home for that short period of time that I was doing it, sitting behind a computer, sitting in my office. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
My daughter likes it, too, because she's at home. And, of course, you know, mom brings her, you know, breakfast in the morning, like lunch in the afternoons. Like, now she's getting spoiled. Like, oh, is lunch ready yet? Like, what happened?
Wow.
Nice. How's the commute today? Nice.
Yeah, nice to have staff.
Down the hall, you know. That's...
And
it's funny because as a parent, you feel good, like, okay, good. She's not out, you know, running around doing, you know, traveling, doing, you know, all that rat race, because that's the worst part of working is commuting. But you feel happy, like, okay, at least she's having it easy. But then you're saying, wow, you know, but you're not putting in that time of that sweat equity of learning to hate your job.
Right.
You know, you're not getting that. You love it. You love your job. You're not supposed to love your job.
I really did.
Being a parent's hard.
Yeah, the commute was killing me. The commute was awful, especially from up here. It was 2 hours each way. I mean, how much of a life can you possibly have?
Well, but then again, you found you could work on the train. I know you used to...
I did.
You'd be texting me on the train when I saw the text go... Oh, yeah, they must have hit that rough spot.
It's the truth. You just learn to work with shoulder to shoulder with everybody else working on the train.
Well, you've always been an urban soldier anyway, so not me. You know, I'm not an R-train kind of guy. You know that.
I've seen the last time I saw you on a subway, you had your arms folded. You had that puss on your face. You're like, I don't belong here with these people.
I turned to Charles Bronson. I'm like, give me a weapon and like, who's let me put eyes behind my head. Like, I'm watching everybody. I don't trust that little old lady. Watch her. You know, she's got an umbrella.
I'm standing around. I'm eating a slice of pizza. Yeah. I'm on the train.
Right. You got the newspaper in one hand, the pizza in the other.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I got the coffee in my hip somewhere.
Right.
On the tool belt. Yeah. I'm at home.
I'm holding a big pen like it's going to be a weapon of destruction. Anyway.
I'm at home on public transportation. You kidding me? It's great.
Speaking of weapons of destruction, are we going to be able to share an honor group of the hour this week?
Well, of course we are. This is Motormouth Radio and the home of the mightiest automotive junkies there are on the face of the earth. And there is a Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour. And this week, if your family did something to your car for Father's Day that you find questionable, did they stick some slick and exotic seat covers on your car? Did they affix some witty license plate frame on the back or a clever dad sticker on the rear window? Did they hang some world's best dad bobble or gee-gaw from your rear view mirror? Wouldn't you have been happy if they just simply washed it or maybe even paint flames on it? Well, if your family decided to do something to your vehicle for Father's Day that you can hope can be easily removable, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
That's
there you go.
Nothing a razor blade can't take care of.
Right. Exactly.
And you should know.
In the middle of the night.
That if you are free on Wednesdays, I'll tell you about what you can do on Tuesdays in a bit, but you might want to listen to Law You Should Know on this station at 3 p.m. Wednesdays. You can learn valuable information about the law from attorney Ken Landau and his expert guests. It's concerning all areas of the law, including criminal, wills, and real estate. And you can find out about your right to sue and what to do if you are sued, which we hope we'd never have to worry about. So now, Chris, we're going to tie in our numerology segment with another little ditty that I think you requested.
Uncle 47.
No. This song,
hey,
Strawberry Letter 22, is actually Strawberry Letter 23, because the Brothers Johnson were, I'll tell you the history of it when we get back, because it's a fascinating story that I had to learn.
It's Rockology Ray with his magic hands.
That's right, and we'll be back with that more on 90.3 WHPC. Keep it where you got it.
Hello, my love, I heard a kiss from you. Red magic satin playing near two.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services. 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rods. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's
yes.
All good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Motor Mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No, you
see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show
we've
ever
done. It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motormouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
You
Yeah, we're getting requests. Actually, our friends, our good friend Matt Goman, wanted to hear more of this song. He was kind of upset that we cut it back. So, you know, we'll let it play a little, and I'll tell you a little bit, because I learned the chorus of this song says Strawberry Letter 22. But instead of the actual title, which is Strawberry Letter 23, which it's listed on my disc as Strawberry Letter 22.
Sure.
You know? And I found out the premise of the song was that a couple were exchanging love letters in musical form. And the singer is creating Strawberry Letter 23 as a reply to her Strawberry Letter 22.
Oh.
Who knew this stuff, right? So, George Johnson, of course, from the Brothers Johnson. And again, another great 70s band. And if you look at them, most of them are guys of color. But there's a couple white guys in the band that know how to funk. There always was. And they didn't do the song originally. It came off the 71 album Freedom Flight. And their album is on their album in 77 called Right on Time, produced by Quincy Jones. But the originator of this song, the guy who wrote it, was Shuggy Otis in 1971. So there we go, as we slowly fade out.
There you go.
We did a reverse talk up. We hit the fade out instead of the hard fade in. So,
and now back to the countdown.
And now back to, and that song did. Yeah, you know what? You're right. We should mention it. It did chart. Their rendition hit the Billboard Hot 100, peaked at number 5, and reached number 1 on the Soul Singles Chart in 1977.
Wow, I was just a little shaver then.
So there was the music that you requested last week. See, anybody can do this.
Right, anybody, even me.
Even you, and if you like Matt Goman Brian, you can call at 516-572-7440 and talk to us about whatever's going on.
Hey, Mike, I got to ask you, have you been having a hard time getting parts for your cars, for clients' cars at all? Has it been a problem lately, or have you the inside track?
Yeah, no, it's been a problem getting parts for cars.
Definitely. It has, huh?
Yeah, it's the weirdest parts, too, sometimes you can't get your hands on, and it's the one that you need that you can't put the rest of the car back together.
Of course.
You know, it's like if it was a molding or something like that, you could always have the customer come back, but we have to check parts availability, pre-order everything, and then hope it gets there. I mean, some of the stuff could be 2-3 months out.
That long?
Yeah, we're trying to get a tailgate for I think it was a Pathfinder, and it was like two in the country.
Wow.
You know, so we got
Holy
one.
Smokes.
And then we got another Pathfinder in a couple of weeks later, and then we tried to get the other one, but naturally that was gone, so that customer's driving around, you know, with the big dent on a tailgate.
Yeah, because I'm thinking you can't keep the car in your premises. You can't keep it in your building while you're waiting for a part. That's losing money on your end, isn't it? I mean, that's taking a space from a working client.
Tying
right?
up a lift.
What we do, we keep many. If the car is not drivable, it just sits there, basically, and a customer.
Wow.
After 30 days, maybe 1% of the time the insurance company will pay for the rental, but usually the policy maxes out at 30 days, so that's it. The customer is out of pocket. They're paying for a rental, and they're not happy.
No.
And
no.
We get the brunt of it. It's unfortunate.
But, I was going to say, you have to, just like we talk about with other technicians, you have to become like a psychologist.
Yeah.
You have to talk them off the ledge. Like, I'm sorry your car isn't ready, but it's not my fault,
right?
Type of speech, right?
And then the worst is if you get a customer who turns belligerent, and they're like, "Hey, what are you doing? I'm paying a lot of money here." Blah, blah, blah. Now you have to be. Now you have to put on your calm side, which isn't always easy to do. And like, no, listen, sir, let me explain this to you. Instead of come over here, let's go to the back.
All Mike has to do is get up.
True.
You know what reins them in now? You just look at them and you say, you can't even get baby formula.
Yeah.
And you're worried about a fender on your car? Come on.
Good point.
That shuts them right up. They look and go, you're right. Yeah, like you can't get baby formula. Hello?
Yeah.
These kids are starving out there. You're worried about a friggin' fender on your car. Get a grip on yourself, buddy.
Yeah.
It's so true.
I don't know,
it's
say
true.
It like that, but you know how I want to say it.
You think it. You think it, but you don't say it.
But I do tell them. We do say, hey, you can't get baby formula, and that does rein them right in. It's like, okay, yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right.
Puts it in perspective. Yeah. You know, it does put it in perspective.
Yeah, it's not priority. It's really not. You know,
right.
It's just not.
That's the truth.
People do need their cars, you know, and it's it sucks to have your car laid up if you don't have a rental or a second car or third or fourth or fifth that you could use. And,
right.
You know, so that's I can understand that, too.
Yeah, it is tough.
What's worse is if it's the car that maybe one of your kids uses and they're busting your ass like, hey, when am I going to get the car back? Or they got to use your car now. And now you're like, all right, Lily, I'll call that guy at the body shop. I'll get this.
You'd be trading baby formula for a fender.
Right. On the black market, yeah.
Exactly.
I got this Similac, baby.
There you go.
Give me that fender.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I believe it. It's the truth. I mean, I'm thinking, like, have there been other ways you had to circumvent around, like to go maybe to salvage yards? I don't know if that's acceptable or not, or maybe some parts are, some parts aren't. Like, I don't know how that works. What is acceptable to say, okay, put that salvage yard fender on the car, we'll shoot it or whatever.
Does that qualify as LKQ?
Yeah. Like, kind, and quality. That's another word for junkyard.
Like.
See what happens when you hang around with body shop guys?
That's the insurance company. The insurance company coined that. Let's come up with a better word than junkyard, salvage, piece of shit.
Yeah, nice.
Nice save.
Very good. That's
like kind and quality.
Yeah.
Like kind and quality. I like that. That's a ballpark statement if I've ever heard.
How about you like DBNR, like dented but no rust? They could have done a lot of things, I guess. Yeah.
Aftermarket, they came up with their own certification process called Kappa.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Kappa?
Yeah.
Explain Kappa. What's that? How's that work?
Truthfully, I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's full.
So that's really good. Nobody even knows it. Not even the body guys.
It's a good one, right? I just see that it has to be Kappa certified.
Okay.
Nobody knows what it means. It's their own code.
Beautiful.
It's got to be snafu certified.
Right,
yes,
exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, you use salvage parts and stuff like that. That's definitely always an option anyway on certain cars. You know, unless it's less than 12 months old, you would definitely look for a salvage door or tailgate, things like that.
I know
that.
With lights, too. Lighting is real expensive on some of these cars.
A couple thousand dollars per light, you know, on a lot of the high-end stuff, BMW.
Well, trucks, right? Was it like Ram trucks, the taillights? I think you were telling me, right?
Yeah, mine was like $800. I had cracked mine on my truck before I returned it, and I got away with it. It had like a half circle crack that almost looked like a style in it.
Nice.
Until you looked at the other side.
I need a style on the other side. I need something about 3 inches in diameter that I can give a little pop.
A little ball peen hammer will give you some style, I think.
Boy, not like the old days, huh?
It was a piece of 2-inch PVC when I was coming out of Home Depot.
Oh.
And some guy was rushing me to get out of his parking spot, and I pushed my cart, and the PVC just popped a light and made like a little half circle.
Oh, like, you man.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Just to clarify for people who don't know, Mike, take us back like 40 years. What was it like? Like when you started. Now, not all the details, because we can't. I think legally we can't put that on the air. But just as a comparison with a shop like today's shop, your shop of today, and your shop of 40 years ago. Like, I know there's obviously training and all that stuff was different. You didn't need training, right? I mean, you started with just what you knew. You were able
to hammer.
You were able to use your God given talents and make a run at it. You know. And, I don't know. Is that something that you can encapsulate for us? Because I know a lot of people that talk to me about stuff like auto shops and body shops, and I'll tell them, look, it's not the same game it used to be. Oh, how so? I'm like, okay, what do I tell this guy? You know, it's...
Well, when you started, basically, I started in my backyard, my parents' house, and you just learned on your own. You just kind of like figured it out, and then you went to work at a shop, and they would teach you things, and you'd pick up something from there, and... Limited amount of tools because you had limited amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you just learn by the seat of your pants, basically. And today it's more technical. You do need training. It's just the cars are more complicated. And it's more of a replacement business versus a repair business. Years ago, we'd fix things because the steel was was heavy, and you could straighten it, and you can use a torch and a hammer and a dolly. Today, you can't. You just, right. You know, if it needs a fender, you just put a fender on. Needs a quarter, you put a quarter on. If, mm-hmm. You know, if it's over 5-6 hours, you got high strength steel. You can't put any heat on it. You just, you got to put everything in where it's supposed to be put in. You can't section things in like years ago. We would section certain parts in. You know, and by the dog leg or something like that on the quarter. When now you got to put the full piece in all the way down into the rocker, otherwise it's not structurally sound.
Right.
And insurance companies, they've always had an involvement in it, but it's more so now than ever. So back when I started, insurance company was the enemy to us because we had work. We had a chase shop, so we would chase accidents, and we had plenty of work. There was no shortage of work. And we dealt with the insurance companies. Even though they were trying to steal work away from us, we still had plenty of work. Today, it's kind of the opposite. Most of the work comes from the insurance company. And we work directly with them as partners, and it seems to be good. From somebody that was against it from starting out, I'm for it now because it just makes the job go much cleaner. I'm not saying that all insurance companies are great to work with, but majority of them, they know what it's, you know, they know what it's about. They know what the car needs. If you need a supplement, say you fix a car and you write an estimate, it's $3,000. Now you find it needs $1,500 worth of extra work because you took it apart. The insurance company understands that. Try to tell that to a customer when they're paying out of pocket. You know, you try to warn them and you try to tell them, you know, you got to take the car apart. No, just give me an estimate now. Just give me, you know, what do you think? And they always want like a ballpark. And I say, I got to write it down. I don't know what the parts cost. Let me write it down. But there's going to be possibly hidden damage when I take it apart. Once you tell them it's another $1,000, they think you're ripping them off.
Yeah.
So dealing with the insurance company, it's a lot cleaner. And they're the ones 90% of the time are paying the bill anyway. So you get good volume, and you get people that understand the repair process. So,
and I've seen a lot of that hidden damage. It is, in fact, at the shop a couple of years ago, you had a RAV4. The rear bumper was off. The car was popped. And the bumper wasn't even really dead. The bumper cover was intact, but underneath. So I took some pictures of it and sent it to my daughter, who drives a RAV4, and said, hey, this is what it'll look like if your car gets hit. So if you get a parking lot thing that doesn't seem bad, don't drive away. You know,
exactly.
Call somebody, even if it's because this is what you could be looking at underneath. And she's like, "Oh wow, I didn't know that." I'm like, "Of course not." But
you can't.
You can ring up.
Go ahead.
You can ring up $1,000 worth of extra damage easily. I'm sure, right? It seems like a small number nowadays.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, the bumper gets hit, it pops back out. The body panel is steel; it stays in. So when you pull that off and you see it's all collapsed under there, you could be looking at thousands of dollars worth of damage. And a guy gave you $250, and you were thinking, wow, that's great. I'll just put that in my pocket.
Right. One of the things that always makes me chuckle when I go into the body shops is to see the tools that the guys are using. And, you know, not the brand. Most guys are using truck brand tools because it's easy. The guy comes to the shop. But now everything is smaller. It's like everything is quarter inch and small, tiny, and long sockets. Like, not like the old days. Everybody had their half-inch Craftsman set and their, you know, and their big proto ratchet. Now it's everything is miniature. And I laugh when I see that. I'm like, wow, how the world has changed with tools, you know? Yes. Like, I didn't even use a quarter-inch set for hardly anything. You know, and now when I work on a car, now I'm buying quarter-inch tools.
Yeah, now all you need is a number 10, basically.
Right.
And that takes the car apart.
It was your old half-inch or, you know, your old half-inch.
Yeah, and where you did need a lot of big equipment to fix cars now, I mean, a lot of it could be fixed with a Wonder Bar. I mean, Steve, our master tech, Steve Webb. Steve's got tools that he made that would put a frame machine to shame.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Steve could fix anything.
Steve's a master.
With what he's got in his toolbox.
Yeah.
He's just that kind of guy. He's just a talented, excellent technician.
That's like my buddy TJ, who's now, again, went through all the body shops, and he started out working at home like you did. Went through all the body shops and restoration shops. Now he's working back at his house, out of his garage. We're going to go out of our phone bank and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys. It's Hey Macroman, Brian. What's up?
Here's the guy with the 8s and 10s walking through the body shop. Mr. Macroman, what's happening today?
What's up, Brian?
I called
I want you guys to, you know, hush your mouth and play some more good music. I thought that you guys played music.
Yeah. Well, that would be the music show. You can actually thank Chris for requesting it because he put the seed in my mind, but I pulled it out of my library. So, Brian, we got to do a music show with you. That's all.
That's it.
Are you hanging out at the Harbor Freight parking lot today as usual?
No, today I'm on the tool truck. We're cleaning up, getting ready for next week. I got to hit the streets hard and
nice.
Push some chrome, you know?
Mike, Brian is down in Delaware. He's our Matco guy. And what he, you know, he's always got guys that skip out. They go to different shops, they leave, and they owe him money. So Brian figured out, he goes to the Harbor Freight parking lot on Sunday morning because those guys can't go to the Snap-on guy or the Mac, another Mac guy, because they're known and they know they owe money. So they got to go to Harbor Freight. You can't get Craftsman, right? And he picks these guys up in the parking lot and, hey, buddy, you owe me money.
Good. That's
yeah.
What you got to do.
Yeah, it's
gotta,
phenomenal.
Got to track them down, and I'm sure Mike's having a fun time with all his aluminum repair and relearning and buying new tools and trying to fix that aluminum stuff now is also very tricky in that world.
Sure, definitely.
Yeah.
I remember the Snap-on guy back in Queens. When guys would beat the Snap-on guy, and you'd get a guy come work, they had a guy that drove around in a van. They called him the Hitman. He would hunt these guys down, and he was their enforcer.
Gee, what a surprise in Queens.
That's what you need. They always pop up. You know that. You know you're always going to run into them one day. It could be 10 years, but you'll get the guy. You'll get your man.
Well, Brian sees these guys in restaurant. He'll be out with his wife eating dinner. And you know, he's telling me, he'll get up from the table. I'll be right back, dear. I got to go do something. And walk up on the guy in the table like, hey. You know, you got you're getting a steak there. You got a little bit for me, you know?
That's it. Pay up, son.
Yeah, right.
I tell the guys, I'm a teddy bear, but if I got to send the wife, that's the pit bull. So you decide what you want.
Yeah, pick your poison.
Pick your poison, that's right.
And that's coming from a guy that's 6'4 and about 300 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Wow. I tell him I'm a teddy bear, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you just intimidate by them looking at you. They're not going to push it any further.
Could fill a doorway. Yeah. That's always an intimidation. Yeah.
Where are you in Delaware? Where, a friend of mine, I just come back from
Maryland.
In Maryland. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm close to Delaware, but okay, I'm in Maryland. I'm in the middle of Silver Spring and Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
So I'm right in the middle of the I-95 corridor there. So.
Okay. Yeah, I just passed through that the other day. I was coming back from Florida. Dealing with some lovely traffic, just like New York, but it's a price you have to pay when you're driving.
Yeah, it's the other day we had a trash truck that rolled over right down the street from the house, and that was fun-filled and exciting. Okay. So I don't know how a trash truck rolls over, but I guess anything in this world's possible these days, right?
Yes.
Well, you take the turn too tight. Yeah, you could definitely flip it.
Yeah, dump the load.
Yeah, so, well, even though when I try to Tokyo drift the tool truck, it gets a little hairy, so I guess it's possible.
Yeah.
You have actually tried that, Brian, really?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear any one story.
We don't have that much time. We'll have to have a beer and some crabs to have that story.
You'll have to tune in on a Thursday night show where you can get the full, you get the full thing then, because we'll...
Right. We only get the headlines here.
We go late, right.
You get the full details on Thursday night.
Right.
That's it. This part of the show is made for TV, but the other one's made for movies, so we have to watch out.
Exactly.
Exactly, that's for sure.
Hey, you guys have a super great Father's Day, and like I said, you guys take care. Keep playing the good music. Great talking to you, Mike, and you guys stay out of trouble, and I'll be in touch.
You got it, Brian. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Thanks, Brian.
Take care.
All right, so long. Matco Man Brian. Guy takes care of us all. What a excellent.
That's the truth. It's getting the money, getting the parts, it's now it's just turned into everything is just hard, hard to get, hard to do. Mike, Brian mentioned something about aluminum. You're really having a hard time putting together aluminum body parts and at the shop?
Yeah, we fix some aluminum, but a lot of it we replace. You know, fenders and stuff like that. We don't waste time fixing them. We replace them. And we have aluminum welders. We're aluminum certified. But you got to have special qualification and certificates to work on a lot of these aluminum cars.
Right.
You know, so unfortunately, we don't get a lot of aluminum, which is good. But, I mean, it's going to change. I'll be gone by
now
then.
It's
now, I remember BMW, you know, a couple of, well, no, 10, 15 years ago. When they came out, they were doing their riveting frames, and now they're gluing them, right?
Right.
So I know they were always kind of in the forefront of the aluminum stuff, but I guess a lot of other manufacturers have followed along for weight savings, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, all the metals and stuff like that, and composites.
Mm.
That's what they're building it out of.
Wow. Yeah, it's not like our old cars. Everything is steel and, you know.
Bolted together.
You know, I want to mention before we go, Tuesdays at 2 o'clock, if you're free, tune into Twitter and go to Automoblog's page because Carl Anthony is doing his Summer Breeze series. This week is episode 3. This is on the 21st, first day of summer, by the way. And the topic, it's a 2-minute video that he does on Twitter at 2 o'clock. And the topic is the first time I blew that stop sign. So that's how he got me thinking, like, what was the first stop sign I blew? I don't know. What was the first stop sign I came across when I was driving? Like, that was probably the one.
I have
the bottom
no
of my
clue.
Block. Yeah, you know, I know. So I'm curious to see what Carl has to say about that because he's probably got some, he's always got good insight with things like that.
You know, real fast, I always tell a story about driving with my dad. I was about 17 years old, and we're on Sunrise Highway. And my father was color deficient. I guess you can call it color blind, but he couldn't tell the red from the green. He used to see if the top light was on, he knew it was red. If the bottom light was on, he knew it was green. So we're on Sunrise Highway. It's at night, and I'm driving. And the lights, of course, on Sunrise Highway go horizontal.
Oh, that's
not vertical.
A long time ago.
Yeah, this is a long time ago. And he saw a light and went, the light is red. It was really green. And I'm going through the intersection. And he picks up the Sunday paper. That's how far back I'm going. And he's beating me with it on the Sunrise Highway. He's beating me with the newspaper saying, the light is red. And I'm trying to keep the car between the lines. I'm screaming at him, no, it's green.
Yeah, but for you
and
guys, that was just Sunday. That happened every Sunday. like they don't have Sunday papers anymore. Yeah, no, that's... Yeah, well, at least he didn't reach over and stab the brake with his left foot.
No, he just beat me with the Sunday paper, which at the time, back in the early 80s, the Sunday paper was pretty beefy.
It was big.
Piece of lumber.
What's not beefy is the rest of the time we have left because we're out. We got to get out of here. Let Kim come in and do Thunder Road, best of Springsteen in the band. So stay tuned, listen to her. Mike, thanks for coming in and joining us today.
Thank you.
Mike, that was great seeing you.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
I want to do a shout out to a good friend of mine, Tony Mattia. Wish you a happy Father's Day, buddy.
Excellent.
Take care.
For Chris, what do we say before we get out of here?
Don't follow us home and have a great Father's Day.
Right. See you next week. We'll have Frank Jewell from South Bay Fuel Injectors. See you.
See you, Mike.